I think the last Sunday of the year was Thanksgiving Sunday, and I was sharing with you about the 10 lepers. Do you remember how the 10 people who had a major health issue, you know, met Jesus and he healed all of them. He healed all 10 of them. But only one of them came back to say thank you. Only one of them came back to announce publicly that Jesus had done something for him. Only one of them came back to share a testimony. Hallelujah. And to my surprise, Jesus asked for the 9. Says, but there were 10 of you. Where are the 9? So God is counting how many people he's doing things for. And he's counting and noticing especially how many of them are grateful enough to tell it. Hallelujah. It's not amazing how we announce to the whole world when we have a problem. But when God solves it, we keep quiet about it. At that point, we say it's private. Hallelujah. So we're going to have a testimony. Amen. And the Lord is showing me that the more we share testimonies, the more testimonies we will have. Hallelujah. Because when Jesus had only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, as the people shared it, the loaves multiplied. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I believe that as we are open about the things the Lord is doing for us, and as we begin to share them for the encouragement of others, I believe that God is going to bless us greatly with more testimonies. We will see that we'll have so many testimonies. Our church will be marked by fantastic testimonies and so many wild, crazy stories that you will not even believe it. Hallelujah. You will not even believe what you're hearing, but it will be the doing of the Lord. It will be the truth. It will be what the Lord has done for his people. Hallelujah. And so I really want to encourage you to start sharing testimonies. Every Sunday, just feel free. There is no particular order or, you know, but my goal is to have at least one every Sunday. Amen. Just for the sake of time and all that. And I'll give you like 5 minutes. I mean, 5 good minutes where it is just you. All right. Let me share Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 with you. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. The Bible says they overcame him. Maybe we can start with verse 10. Revelation chapter 12 and from verse 10. All right, verse 7 is better. More is better. Amen. So verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Hey, if there's war in heaven, you shouldn't be surprised there's war in your life. Do you understand? Because even in heaven there was war. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So this is how the devil came to be here on earth. All right. Verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Anytime you remove troublemakers, there is more peace and there's strength and there's power and salvation and things can happen. So if you remove troublemakers out of your life, you will now start to experience peace and blessing from the Lord. Amen. But verse 11 is the most important verse this morning. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Hallelujah. Now the Bible is showing us 3 things that overcome the devil. Number 1 is the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The blood of the Lamb overcomes the devil. That is why we have communion. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Because every time you have communion, you show to the devil again a reenactment of his defeat. Hallelujah. You show to the devil again the folly of organizing the crucifixion of Christ. So every time we have communion, and today is the first Sunday of February, and so we're going to have communion before the service is out. Hallelujah. But they overcame him, one by the blood of the Lamb. And then the second element that overcomes the devil is the word of their testimony. The second element that overcomes and that defeats the devil in your life is when you start to talk about what God has done for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't know how, but it's just the same way. We don't know how blood overcomes the devil. Do you know how blood overcomes the devil? Yeah, we don't know how the blood of the Lamb overcomes the devil, but it does. Hallelujah. And in the same way, the Bible says the word of your testimony. That means sharing your testimony, telling people about what God has done for you. The Bible says it has a way of overcoming the devil, and you just have to believe it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then the third one is not loving your life. That means being sacrificial. One of the reasons why people struggle with their Christian life is extra effort that goes into maintaining our comfort and not wanting to do anything that is sacrificial or painful or inconveniencing in any way. Do you see what I'm saying? And that gives the devil an advantage over many Christians. For example, not wanting to wake up early to pray will give the devil an advantage over you. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, because by the time you start to pray, everybody is up. And the devil is going to get all of them. He said, call him, call her right now. Call her. It's urgent. Just call her. Just talk to her. Just tell her something. Even if it's useless, you just say it. They don't have to pray now. Just to get you off your prayer. And you see that you cannot pray. Hallelujah. And loving your life is what has given him an advantage over you. Hallelujah. So anyway, these are just bonus points for this morning service. Hallelujah. But I want you to know that testimony is very powerful, and it will change your life. It will introduce another dimension of power. It will introduce a couple more cylinders into your life to fire on against the devil. Hallelujah. It'll add some more ammunition to your battle against the evil one. So don't hold back when we have to share testimonies in church. Amen. So next week is going to be your turn. Can I have an amen? Tell your neighbor, next week will be your turn to share a testimony. Amen.
Hallelujah. I just want to thank God so much. Amen. I just want to share this testimony to give glory to God. You know, I'm married, and within 3 months, I had to leave my wife to come here. You know, so I was just married for only 3 months, and I left. Amen. And I've been away from my wife for like 7 good years now. Yeah, so what a shock. Amen. I mean, I've been home on 2 occasions, but you know how this place is, you know. I mean, because you are working, when you even have vacation, it's like you can't have 1 month. Most is maybe 2 weeks. You know, even sometimes the traveling alone will take some of the days out. You know, and when you arrive, you have to go and see people. So you don't actually spend quality time. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, I've been home on 2 occasions, and all put together, it's about, so I've been living with my wife for about only 3.5 months for 7 years of marriage. Amen. So, I started the whole process of trying to let her come around. Hallelujah. And it's been a long journey. You know, I started like 2013, April. I started this process. I tell you, it's been up and down. Today you say, they say, bring this. Today you say, they say, bring that. You know how this our country is. Amen. So finally, I mean, pastors keep praying. Apostles after preaching will prophesy. Essentially, it will happen. And, you know, encouragement here and then. I mean, it's one common question. Anytime I meet somebody, when is she coming? Hey! It became a common greetings. Amen. You know, so but by the grace of God, everything is true now. She's got to the visa. Everything is done. Amen. Yeah, so I just want to thank God. I mean, ticket is visa is through, ticket is bought. Amen. So amen. Yeah, but the only thing is that I will tell you the date she's coming. Amen. So the day you see the two of us enter, then that's it. Amen. So that will be a surprise. Hallelujah. So I just want to thank God. You know, it's been a really long journey. You know, God even said it wasn't good for man to be alone. Amen. You know, so it's not be easy to having been married and you still live your life like a single person, you know. It was a great journey. It's been with a lot of struggles, I have to be honest. But God has been merciful. Amen. So I just want to give God all the glory. And I want to just say that no matter how long, whatever you are expecting God for, just keep waiting. God will do it. Amen. So let's help me put our hands together and thank God for his goodness. Amen. Powerful. Amen.
Wow, what a blessing. 7 years. Wow. See, sometimes you don't know what someone's testimony means to them. 7 years. I know that Pastor Charles has struggled a lot. Learned how to make peanut butter soup. He has cooking instructors all around the country. Depending on what he's cooking, he's on the phone to one state or the other, you know, and then they're giving him instructions on the phone and he's making the food, you know. So as you see him, he's a guinea pig because he has tested many different recipes and is still alive. Hallelujah. But we're grateful to God for your life, and we thank him for making a way for your wife to join you. And he said the date is secret, so we're just gonna have to wait. But I think one of these days, when you see Pastor Charles walking with a woman, know that she's not a convert. That's the wife. Amen. It's a blessing. All right. We just have a few minutes left in the service, and I want to share with you from Formula for Humility. Amen. We are just concluding 3 weeks of fasting and praying for humility and for God to give us this very special and unique virtue that seems to be a requirement for maintaining a meaningful relationship with him. Hallelujah. And we've prayed about so many things, and you know, I believe that God has heard these prayers. And this year, as we remain humble, the Bible says God gives grace to the humble, isn't it? It says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Amen. Is there anybody who could use some grace from God? Wow, you could use some grace for your life. And God's grace will help your life greatly. Amen. God's grace will make you come into things you could otherwise never come into. God's grace will put you in places you could never have gone to by yourself. God's grace will make you meet and know people you could never have met and known. God's grace will make you go places you could never have gone. God's grace will set things up for you that you could never have put together yourself. Hallelujah. So God's grace is a very important component of life, and nobody should try living without it. Amen. No one should try or should be caught alive without some grace around you. Hallelujah. I pray that God will shower his grace upon you this year, and that God will cause you to experience an abundance of this grace we are talking about. Hallelujah. And he gives that grace to the humble. So as you pursue humility, you will be pursuing God's grace. as you pursue humility, God will pour grace into your life. Amen. But when you are proud, the Bible says he will resist you. Things that should work for you will not work, because God is resisting you. Hallelujah. When you push against the door that should open, you will find that door remaining closed because God has locked it from behind. God has put a table behind the door and has sat on the table. See, when God is sitting behind your door, you know that you cannot open that door. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. When God has sat behind your door of marriage, you cannot open it. I tell you, even the one who should like you will not like you. You'll be surprised. Or even the one who used to like you will not like you anymore, because God has closed the door. Do you see what I'm saying? I tell you, you will even buy a card and give it to him to give to you, and he'll mail it to somebody else. Eesh. Because God has locked the door. You buy the card with your money and you put your address on the back of it and you say, just post it to me, you know, and then he will cancel your name and write a different address and post it to somebody else. Hey. You cannot do without this grace. Hallelujah. Pride is a dangerous thing, and I pray that none of us will walk in pride this year. Amen. One of the symptoms of pride is to be puffed up. One of the signs that a person is proud is that he is puffed up. It's one of the descriptions of proud people. A proud person is often swollen up. Do you see? And the person is bigger than they really should be. They feel bigger in their head. They feel bigger in their own eyes than they really should be. And today I want to share with you about one such person or two such people real quick before we close. Say amen.
Amen.
Well, chapter 12. Nebuchadnezzar is the first example of proud people. What it means to be puffed up like Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. Number one, you are puffed up like Nebuchadnezzar when you do not listen to warnings from the pastors and prophets. Hallelujah. Now, one of the ways that God delivers people is through a message from the man of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the ways that God warns us is through his prophets. God always speaks to men through his servants, the pastors and the teachers. Amen.
Amen.
Pastors, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. God uses all these people to warn us and to speak to us. Hallelujah. But you see, as you become proud, you can get to a place where you disregard what God has to say to you through any of these agents and these representatives of God. Hallelujah. See, the truth is that even if we don't like it, God always has to work through a representative. Do you see? God has to work through a representative. God has to work through people. Amen.
Amen.
And God has to work through human beings. You know, imagine that if God was to speak to you, I mean, I can only think of maybe two or three ways. One of them is that he will open the heavens and you will hear a voice and God will start to speak to you. Imagine if you were driving and you would just hear the sound. Have you ever been on the road where the policeman gets behind you and he shouts in the microphone, he says, get off the road or something like that? You start to tremble, you know, and that's just a police officer. If God was to speak like that, imagine you're just driving on the 101 and you're just right there in traffic and the Lord comes, Lamech! You have an accident. You will have an accident. You will have an accident. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it is the reason why God chooses to use a real watered down version. Do you see? A real watered down form that you can relate with. Someone just like you. Do you see? So that you can listen without fear. But unfortunately, that itself is what makes people miss the voice of God. Because they are so focused on the vessel and its close similarity with themselves that they miss out on the fact that what this person is saying may actually be a warning from God to you. Hallelujah. Amen. So God speaks through his prophets and God speaks through the man of God in our lives. Nebuchadnezzar is someone who was warned by the prophet Daniel, but he refused to listen and he paid the price for that. He paid the price of mental illness for 7 years. God spoke to him and he wouldn't listen. And because of that, God gave him the mind of an animal. And he became mentally ill for 7 years. He went to live in the bush like an animal. You know, imagine when, you know, your king wakes up in the morning and he wants breakfast. And he says he wants grass. That's what he wants to eat, you know. So we have to be very, very careful. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes big people feel very proud. You know, Bishop says, I met a rich man in a public place. I told him, you must be born again. I don't know why I told him that he had to be born again. I guess that I sensed the need for this man to repent. This man was so incensed by my message to him. He got angry and shouted at me in front of everyone. My counsel was not acceptable to him. This is what Daniel begged from Nebuchadnezzar. He said, please let my counsel be acceptable to you. Daniel was pleading with Nebuchadnezzar and saying, listen to me. Please let my counsel be acceptable to you. Hallelujah. It says, let my counsel be acceptable unto you and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be the lengthening of thy tranquility. You know, Daniel chapter 4 and verse 27 is a verse I'm just reading. It says, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee and break off thy sins by righteousness. Hallelujah. He says, stop doing the wrong thing and start doing the right thing. He says, I beg you, listen to me. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes you may not hear the preacher pleading with you in that sense, because sometimes the preacher does not even know who he's talking to. Do you see what I'm saying? But you know that this message is for me. And anytime you find yourself in a message, it means God has been gracious to you by speaking to you. Because God doesn't have to speak to you. Do you see what I'm saying? He doesn't have to speak to you. All you have to do is to live. And when you live and you break the rules, you just experience the consequences. Do you see what I'm saying? But one of the acts of mercy that God shows to mankind commonly and often is to send someone to give you advice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yet they are giving you a chance not to get caught up in the consequences of what you're doing. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when you're driving in places where the police has put a speeding camera, they put the camera there. There's already a speed limit that has been posted on every road. Then they put a camera there to catch people who break it. But they go the extra mile sometimes to show you mercy by telling you, we put a camera there. Do you see that? Yeah. Now, people who disregard that warning. Do you see what I'm saying? Because do you agree with me that to start with, they don't need to tell you that they put a camera there? Because they have already told you on this road, You drive at 45. Do you see the speed limit for this road is 45. Now you have a very nice car and you want to try it out like Paul. You get it. You're driving this baby car and you feel like you want to see how grown up it can be or can feel. Do you see? So instead of doing 45, you're doing like 75 in a 45 area. And they have a camera there for people just like you. One day I received something in the mail and I was surprised when I opened it. It was a photo of me. A photo of me in the car. You know, I think I was even drinking some coffee or something like that. And the thing has... Now, you know, I couldn't even remember when I was at that place. But, you know, these cameras are clever. They took a photo of me approaching the intersection. They took a photo of me during my short stay at the intersection. Then they took another photo of the back of my car. Then they took a close-up of my face. So there are four photos where they put all together and send it to you. Then they said, send us money. Yeah, so we're not going to come chase you. This is a photo of you. Just send us money. You know, the police don't have to warn anybody, but they show you mercy by telling you, camera zone. Then they put a camera there. And you wonder, if you're going to tell everybody there's a camera here, what's the point? But the thing is, the aim is not really to punish you. What they want to do is to show you mercy. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, many times, God shows you mercy by not leaving you to experience the consequences of your sin. Otherwise, the first warning you would have that you're in the wrong place or are doing the wrong thing is when you start to experience the consequences. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. See, when you leave your hand on a hot burner, you know, and the thing is hot, the first warning you get, there's no announcement, don't put your hand here. When you put, the first warning is after you've been burnt. Do you see what I'm saying? And God could deal with us like that. But instead, God chooses to warn us. So Daniel was telling the guy, he said, listen, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. You know, one of the ways you can attract God's mercy is you yourself must be merciful to people. Hallelujah. And he said, cut back on your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Then he says, it may be the lengthening of your tranquility. That means your season of peace. It may be that you may enjoy a longer period of peace in your life because you were able to cut off your sins by heeding the warning from a man of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. You may never know, you know, but a man of God in your life, a presence of a pastor in your life, someone who can speak to your life, someone who God uses to address issues in your life, may really be your greatest blessing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It may make a difference between life and death. It may make a difference between the termination of your tranquility. You see, let me use tranquility so it sounds more spiritual. Hallelujah. It may be either the lengthening of your tranquility or the shortening of your tranquility. So you may be enjoying a period of peace, a season of tranquility, and you may not know that it's just about to come to an end. It's just about to come to an end. It's just about to finish. Hallelujah. Do you see how sometimes you have your straw dipped in a can of something and you're just, as you're enjoying it, then you suddenly hear that sound. Without warning, the thing is finished. Especially the ones that are loaded with ice. You mistake the ice for more juice. You think because it still feels heavy, there's a long way to go. You know, until as you just suck on the thing, suddenly you start to no more juice. The period of your tranquility is over. Hallelujah. God sends a man of God into your life to help you. And you need to learn not to be puffed up in the face of preaching. Amen. Do not be puffed up in the face of preaching. It may be your last act of mercy that you will experience. Hallelujah. That maybe from that point on, no more mercy. From that point on, you're going to get a ticket, a photo of you sent to your house. You wouldn't know whether you should frame it or what should you do with this particular photo. Hallelujah. So that is Nebuchadnezzar. That is what it means to be puffed up. The second point, you are puffed up like Nebuchadnezzar when you think that your achievements have been by your own efforts. You know? So hear this guy speak. Verse 30 of Daniel chapter 4. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Wow. People can talk. People can talk. He said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Wow. One of the things we need to watch out for is the feeling that whatever we have going for us in our lives is the result of our own greatness and achievements. Hallelujah. That our own strength and our own ability is what has brought us what we have. It is by the grace of God that you have what you have. Hallelujah. It is by the grace of God that you have what you have. You know, that is a fact. You know, really, the world is divided between those who know it and those who don't. Do you understand? But it is not for debate anymore that God is the one behind what you have. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 27, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. Only God allows us to be who we are and to have what we have. And if God decides that it's over, it is over. And it really will be over. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes it's over for people, but they don't believe it. Yeah. They don't believe that really this is it. Now, from this point on, everything is going to go downhill. Hallelujah. It's important for all of us to recognize that our achievements, whatever they be, are through the help of God. God is the one who has given us what we have. You know, the Apostle Paul knew that very well. And so he is the one that said, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, he says that, I am what I am by the grace of God. You know, that is the way to talk. We need to learn how to talk like Christians. And the way a Christian speaks is to acknowledge the grace of God on a regular basis. Hallelujah. To be able to say, by the grace of God. I did well, by the grace of God. I bought a new car, by the grace of God. I'm getting married, by the grace of God. I have a new baby, by the grace of God. I'm moving into a new apartment, by the grace of God. You need to remind yourself constantly of the grace of God and the role it plays in your life. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Do you understand? This is where people get confused. Because on one hand, they can see that what is coming into their life seems to respond to their efforts. It looks like when you work harder, you are rewarded. It looks like the more you put in, the more you get out of whatever it is. So that makes people always think that then it must be me. I'm controlling this. Because it looks like when I put in the effort, it responds. When I don't, it doesn't respond. So then what's working this whole game? It must be me. But you see, here's what Paul is saying. This is no, he's not a fool. And he's saying that, you know, his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I didn't make the grace useless. But rather, I took advantage of the grace and I applied myself. So often, success is when someone recognizes that God has given them the grace to do something, and then they don't remain lying in their bed, but rise up to apply themselves to whatever God has given them the grace for. You see, God, when God gives you grace, it's like he's opened a door for you. But now you have to walk through it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because there are many things you cannot do yourself. You know, but when God unlocks a door for you, now it is up to you to walk through it. It is like when you go to a restaurant, the bigger job is cooking the meal and preparing it and serving it before you. After that, being hungry is your fault. Do you understand? After that, remaining hungry is because you have not eaten what was set before you. So he said that the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He's explaining his success, that he worked really hard. But then he says, yet it was not I. Do you understand? I worked the way I worked because of the grace of God which was with me. Hallelujah. So even hardworking people have to recognize that really, even the fact that you are willing to work that hard is a message to you that the grace is with you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That one of the expressions of the grace of God is your willingness and even ability to work very hard. Hallelujah. So you have to keep working hard. But working hard is not, does not mean that the grace of God is not at work on your behalf. Rather, it is the grace of God that enables you to work very hard. Can I have an amen? Amen. So I pray that you will work very hard and yet recognize all the time that it is the grace of God. You know, Bishop has a very interesting story here. I said, let's read that story. A man who was trapped in a building after an earthquake. After 3 days and nights, he was rescued and taken to the hospital. He was interviewed by the news media. Everyone wanted to know about the ordeal he had been through. How did you survive under the rubble for 3 days and nights? The man answered, I'm a man of strong willpower. I'm a determined person. I always do what I've decided to do, and I stick to my vision, and I maintain my purpose all the time. I think this kind of talk is very familiar, isn't it? Just as for me, I don't do my things like that. You know, I like my things to be, you know, and I, you know, you lack focus. Do you understand? Yeah. He says, wow, the reporter said, that's great. Congratulations on your great achievement. The reporter also interviewed his wife. He was stunned to have almost the same response from the wife. How do you feel about what happened? How was your husband able to survive his ordeal under the ground for so long? The wife answered, my husband is a man of strong willpower. You know, he is very focused and determined. When he sets his mind on something, he usually achieves it. I've been married to him for 25 years. I know my husband, and I think that is why he survived for so long. He is a survivor. Sometimes I'm listening to the news and they're talking about people who survive things, especially little children, and it's amazing how they describe them as having a strong will to live. Do you know? I don't know who tries to live. Can you live? I don't know if living is something you do. Is it not more of something that you find yourself having? Is it not more of something that seems to happen to you rather than something you do? You know, if living was something we could do, nobody would die. Because most people who have to die don't want to die. And they don't like to die. You know, I once heard, Steve Jobs giving a speech somewhere. And he said, of course, no one wants to die. I don't want to die. Most people don't want to die. So if people could just live, I mean, there would be no hospital. It would be full of people just living. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So this woman said her husband is a very strong-willed person. Then the reporter interviewed the doctors who were looking after the man. I'm sure you were amazed to find this man alive after so long. The doctors concurred. Our patient is resilient. He is a man of strong willpower, very determined and very focused. We think he was determined not to die, and that is why he survived the ordeal. Hallelujah. Wow. So a week later, this man with the strong willpower had a heart attack and died suddenly. It seems his willpower was not able to sustain him. The question I ask is, where was his strong willpower 7 days after the earthquake? Where was his strong willpower and determination? You know, that's the irony of it. When the big thing didn't kill you, but the small thing actually killed you. Do you see what I'm saying? So we need to be humble, and we need to ascribe to the grace of God what really is the result of the grace of God. And it is everything. It is everything. There's nothing in your life that is the way it is because of you. Everything is by the grace of God. That you are alive this morning is by the grace of God. That you have the education you have is by the grace of God. That you know whom you know is by the grace of God. That you live where you live is by the grace of God. Do you see what I'm saying? That some dangerous gases have not, you know, been released near where you live to kill you. You'll be breathing some poisonous gases and you don't even know it. It's just the grace of God. Do you see what I'm saying? It's interesting how a long time after you've been using something, you suddenly read in the news one day that new research says that this thing causes cancer. Wow. And you say, hey, but we've been using this thing for a long time. And then suddenly new research says that it causes cancer. And that is after we've used it enough to be sick of it. Or sick from it. Hallelujah. So you can see you're not even sure what you're doing today which is right. Do you see what I'm saying? Perhaps you're eating something and 2 years down the line they're going to tell us that's the thing that makes people sick. You see? And you will find out at that point you've eaten too much of it already. Hallelujah. That's why it's important to bless your food. It's important to take a few moments to say thank you and to bless your food. Do you understand? Yeah. And if you want to get extreme, you can freeze the fat, bind the cholesterol, cast out every evil thing in the sugar, disable the sugar, turn the sweetness into sourness, you know, and just eat the food. But by all means, recognize that it is the grace of God. Can I have an amen? Wow. So I believe that God wants us to learn these lessons today. Amen. And then the final point is we know Nebuchadnezzar was puffed up because he fell from his position and dwelt with the beast of the field. Isn't it? He fell from the position because the Bible says all proud people will fall. You know, pride goes before a fall. Pride goes before a fall. And all proud people will end up experiencing a fall. But that will not be your story by the grace of God. Hallelujah. The God will bless you with a grace for humility and you will walk before him in humility and do his will. Always acknowledging that there is someone above you. There is someone bigger than you. Once I was with a bishop somewhere. He was buying something. And as he was speaking and talking to the person, and he kept saying, I. The man was a Jewish man. At a point, the man just stopped him and he said, you know something? You know, you shouldn't talk and say, I. I is for God. Only God can say, I. So you should be saying, we. Yeah, so a human being must humble himself and say we. Talk in terms of plural. Do you understand? And not to say I, because you are nothing. You know, when you are taken out of the world, a small group of people will gather somewhere just to cry for 5 minutes and then continue their life. Do you see? Yes, even after. Yeah, they always finish these funerals with a great feast and dancing. You see somebody who had been crying just a few hours ago, I mean, with a big fat chicken just chewing it. You know, you're not that important. You don't know. You need to go to some funerals to see your real value. Hallelujah. Yeah, you see them dancing. You see somebody's even trying to find a new husband or wife at your funeral. Yeah. Can you believe it? This is all after you're gone. While you're around, everybody maintains utmost respect. They talk like this. They walk, you know, when they are filing past your body, they put their hands behind them. Like they can't speak. When they put you in the ground, you see they'll just stop. They'll be dancing azonto at your funeral. Hey! You see that you're not so important at all. Hallelujah. So don't be too big. Amen. Humble yourself. God will lift you up. When God sets you up, no man can put you down. But when you set yourself up, a human being can put you down. And even if they don't, God can say, get off. And he'll put you down. Hallelujah. I pray that God will bless us with a grace for humility and lift us up and promote us to higher levels in life as we humble ourselves and as we point always to his grace to explain all our achievements and all the good things we have in our lives. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just bow your heads real quickly and just pray to the Lord right now and just say, Lord, I'm praying for your help. I'm praying for your help. I'm praying for your help. To remember always that it is you. It is you. It's not me. That it is you. That you are the one who has blessed me. If you bless me, I'll be blessed. That it's not my achievements. It's not my connections. It's not whom I know. It's not because I went to a certain school. It's not because I have a certain job. It's not because I did this or that. But that it is your grace. It is your grace. And you know, it's not just a way of talking, but it's something that has to be true. You have to believe it. Believe it. Because that's what it really is. And the earlier you believe it, the better. The earlier you believe in the grace of God, the better. A human being needs the grace of God. A human being needs the grace of God. You must always remember that without his grace, you are nothing. Without his grace, nothing you are doing will work or come to anything. Without his help, it's interesting how God's grace comes upon everybody. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just say after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I lift my hand up and I acknowledge you as Lord over my life. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive my pride. Forgive my arrogance. Forgive my lack of constant recognition and acknowledgement of the role that your grace plays in my life. From today, Lord, I want to be a new person. I want to live for you, Jesus. And I want to live in acknowledgement of your power. And your grace bestowed upon my life. I promise you, Lord, that your grace bestowed on me will not be in vain. That like Paul said, your grace upon me will not be in vain. I will work hard. I will apply myself to the efforts that I need to make. I'll put in what I need to put in. I will read what I need to read. I will listen to what I need to listen to. I'll fill whatever forms I need to fill. I will go wherever you need me to go. But I will always remember that all good things have only one source, and that is you. You are the source of every good thing. And I thank you, Lord. Say, forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. Let it cleanse me and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me this day. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. You know, the Bible says God causes his rain to fall on the wicked and the righteous. Yeah? Somebody asked me the other day, so how do you explain the success of people who don't even acknowledge God? Even atheists. People who don't even believe in God at all. They don't go to church. They don't, you know. And I found that verse in the Bible in Matthew chapter 5 or chapter 7 or so, which says that, no, it's in chapter 5. It says, God causes his rain to fall on the wicked and the righteous. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You would have thought God blesses only good people. But in his mercy, God causes, otherwise the rain will fall in patches. Everybody will have their personal rain. So as you're going down Hollywood Boulevard, you see people, some with an umbrella, others without an umbrella, because God has isolated the wicked people from the righteous. So the righteous people are experiencing rain and they have an umbrella, and the wicked people do not have any rain. But that's not how God works. God will cause his rain to fall in an area as though there's no wicked man. You know, do you remember how Abraham was contending with God that don't destroy a city because some righteous people live there? And God said, if you can find me 50 people who live there who are good, I won't destroy it. So for 50 people living in a place, God was going to spare thousands of people. Do you see what I'm saying? So God does things in places, you know. And sometimes when God finds one righteous person, even in your family, that's one of the reasons why you need to be serious about serving God. Because you'll be surprised what deliverance and grace God will bring to your entire extended family just because he found one righteous person, one person in your household, one person in your whole extended family who is making an effort to serve him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There will be cousins and uncles and aunties who will be healed of diseases, who will be spared accidents and so many different things just because of just a remote connection to someone that God is happy with. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's a very important thing that God is such a good God. He's so rich in mercy, but it's not to be taken for granted. We have to be serious in our relationship with him, and God will bless us. Amen.